Before I begin the message this morning, I just wanted to extend greetings to our congregation on behalf of Reverend Captain Ron Meacock and his wife Madeline. They sent their greetings to us and they wanted to be remembered this morning. So we just remember them, and they're living in Peterborough these days, and occasionally they come to visit with us, and they plan to be back at some point just for a visit. Well, one day, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus was walking with the disciples. They came out of the temple. They went out on the Mount of Olives, and Jesus took this opportunity to teach them. They were at the temple. Now, we have a temple there. It's an artist diagram. Remember, there were a number of temples. There were two. First of all, there was Solomon's temple, and it was something to absolutely behold. There was much gold leaf over almost everything. Amazing. Then some years later, it was destroyed. And then when Herod came along as the king, he thought he would get in the good graces of the Jews, and so he rebuilt the temple. Now, as Jesus and the disciples were there looking at the temple, they said to him, "Lord, just take a look at this temple. How marvelous it is. Look at all the buildings that are here. Doesn't this just bring joy to your heart?" And then Jesus said to them, "You see this temple? Pretty soon, not one stone is going to be left standing on another." Well, let us hear the word of God as we turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. Chapter 24, beginning to read at verse number 1, from verse 1 to verse 8. Let us hear the word of God. Jesus left the temple and was walking away with his disciples, came to him to call his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Try to put yourself in the shoes, or I should say in the sandals, of the disciples. They were there with Jesus, and the temple was so important to them. In fact, the temple was the place of worship. The temple was the center of where God dwelled. And it was the location where ultimate victory was going to emanate. This temple was absolutely vital to the Jewish people. Of course, now there were some following Jesus, and they were about to learn some new things. To learn that not one stone was going to be left upon another was absolutely devastating to them. They could hardly understand that this was possible. It took 46 years, I believe, to build the temple, and here it was, not one stone was going to be left upon another. Absolutely amazing news to them, but terrifying news in many ways. But also, through this message and a little bit further in the scripture that we read this morning, Jesus was subliminally telling them something else. And what he was telling them was this, that their foundation for life cannot rest in the temple or in anything else on earth. Even though the temple was important to them and it was the center of their worship, Jesus was telling them that they cannot put all their trust in the temple or anything on earth. In fact, they need to put their trust in him. Jesus was also going to tell them that he will be coming back and he will be ruling his kingdom. Jesus returning to earth and ruling his kingdom. That's why on this, the last Sunday of 2024, and since Jesus hasn't returned up to this point, that we're going to look ahead. Look ahead at what is ahead of us. Here are some interesting and informative statistics. One out of every 30 verses in Scripture mentions the subject of the end times or of Christ's return. One out of every 30 verses. In the New Testament, there are 216 chapters, and in those chapters, there are over 300 references to Christ's return. And only four of the 27 New Testament books fail to mention Christ's return. All of the rest mention his return and the end times. Therefore, Christ's return ought to be one of the most often taught subjects of Scripture. But sadly, throughout Christendom, this is not happening. In the full passage of Scripture, of which we read part this morning, Jesus is telling his disciples two major points. Number one, everything is going to fall apart. And number two, I am going to return. What amazing words from Jesus. Everything going to fall apart. Jesus is telling his disciples, and especially telling believers of today, that since he hasn't returned yet, then beware of a number of things. For example, watch out for false messiahs. The scripture says, watch out that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Now, down through history, there have been many people who've claimed to be either the Christ or the leaders of an organization, and people were to follow. As I look back in the history, I'm just absolutely amazed at what people will follow and whom people will follow. When we think about this, it's really astounding. There are lots of cults that have gone off and still existing today where people are following what they ought not to be following. And Jesus says, beware of false messiahs, false Christs, or false teaching. We need to be very, very cautious. That's why it is so important for you and for me to know what the Word of God stands for and what it says, so that we will not be led astray. We need to abide by God's Word. You and I need to be astute. Astute because we know God's Word, and therefore we are not going to follow the wrong way. We are not going to follow a false Messiah, a false Christ. Watch out for false messiahs. Then he said, watch out for wars and natural disasters. Here are the words. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. Now, in this day and age, we hear a great deal about wars and rumors of wars. We hear a great deal about kingdoms against kingdoms, one ethnic group against another ethnic group. Granted, these are increasing in intensity and in frequency, even as we meet to worship this morning. But Jesus said, the end is yet to come. All of this is going on. We need to know what's going on. Scripture tells us that it's going to go on. And we know, but we are looking at it from a different perspective than people who do not know and understand God's word. Now, it is increasing in intensity and frequency, and these events are happening right before our eye today. It tells us that our Savior's return cannot be all that far away. In fact, it is likely imminent. Now, the word imminent means approaching or near or impending. We need to be ready. We need to be looking for our Savior's return. Jesus said to the disciples whom he was teaching that day, and to us, because we've been reading his words, watch out for false messiahs or false teaching. Watch out for wars and natural disasters. Watch out for persecution. Now, persecution is a word that we don't like to hear. We don't like to be persecuted. We don't like to persecute others. And yet, Jesus said, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. Now, remember now, at this particular point, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and they were getting a little bit of a taste of what was going to happen to them. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. History tells us that all the disciples, except John, were persecuted and they were killed for their faith. John died a very old age. That is John who wrote the book of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. We need to remember that Jesus is talking to disciples. The disciples are all Jews, except perhaps Luke. He is talking to them and to the nation of Israel. And listen to what, this is a repeat. Israel is going to be persecuted. Does that sound familiar? Israel is going to be hated by all nations. Does that sound familiar? We do know that the people of Israel and the nation of Israel have been persecuted for thousands of years. And as we look at the reality of today, we realize that they're being persecuted even today. It amazes me when I look at current events that the United Europe, United Nations, and the United States up to this point, and many countries throughout the world, have an uncanny hate of the nation of Israel and of the people of Israel. I'm absolutely convinced that Satan is behind all this. Satan is behind it because people don't know what they're doing, I think. Satan, who hates God and anything that God stands for. Satan is anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-the Word of God, anti-Christians, anti-the Church, anti-the Holy Spirit. Satan is against all of these items. And somehow, over the centuries, and time makes no difference to him. He doesn't have to accomplish it in a day, a week, or a year. He accomplishes what he's accomplished over centuries. And as a result, nations have risen up and they appear to be hating the very things that God stands for. Countries today will not allow the Word of God to go into their borders. Countries today will not allow people to stand up and talk about Jesus, who he is, and what he's done. Many people get offended by it. And yet, as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to not only proclaim Jesus, but we need to tell others about him at every possible opportunity. Did you know that we are placed here on this earth for a number of reasons? One reason is to love God. He loves us, and we are to love him. But also, we are not to be selfish in all of this. When we know who God is, when we know of his love, when we know who Jesus is and what he's done for us, then we need to tell others. We need to want others to be involved in the faith and put their trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. Remember, Satan is behind it all. I even think that Satan is behind what's happening at Christmas time. I think for a moment there was a time in our country and in England and in other countries when Christmas Day was celebrated for one reason, to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Celebrate the birth of Jesus. That's why. It happens on December 25th. Jesus may or may not have been born December 25th. He may even have been born in the spring. But the important part is that we have a day that we remember our Savior's birth. And that's Christmas time. But have you watched any of the movies on television? Have you watched what many people are saying Christmas is all about? Christmas is all about good times. It's all about loving one another. I kind of like that part, loving one another. But very rarely is there a reference to the birth of Jesus. I think Satan has done a job in convincing the world. Even Christmas Day, many people are saying happy holidays. They don't say Merry Christmas anymore. It's Satan's way of convincing the world not to put their attention on God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, now, in all of this, it's getting worse, and I think it's going to get even worse as we go on these next number of weeks and months. You might ask the question, is there any good news in the midst of all this? And the answer is yes, and praise God there is. Remember, Jesus is telling the disciples, everything is going to fall apart from that time on to where we are today. And then Jesus is coming back. Sadly, the people of Israel, up to this point, turned their backs on the God of the Bible, on the Holy One of Israel. Oh, there were some believers, but many people did not. As the nations of the world, likely led by Russia and joining with Persia, Persia is the ancient name for Iran. There's a day coming, pardon me, there's a day coming when they are going to collectively pounce upon Israel. And we know it in Scripture as the battle or the war of Armageddon. And it is going to be a horrific event that's going to take place. But then, before mankind destroys itself, Jesus is going to return. He's going to come and place his precious foot on the Mount of Olives, bringing back all the host of heaven with him, and he's going to establish his rule here on earth. Ezekiel, quoting the Lord, said these words, "And I will show my greatness and my holiness, and I will make myself known in the sight of many nations. They will know that I am the Lord." They will know that I am the Lord. Can you imagine? Millions of people today do not know that Jesus is the Lord. They do not know, in Jewish terms, that he is the Messiah. But when Jesus intervenes in this battle of all battles that's going to take place, people will see him coming in his glory, and they will finally recognize who he is. Remember this: when all is said and done, the Lord wins. When all is said and done, the Lord wins. Don't ever forget it. Now, here's a question. What about Christians? What about people who are full-time believers in and followers of Jesus Christ? Where do we fit into all of this? The praise God fact is that the church, the people of the church of all ages from Pentecost until the end of the church age, are the bride of Christ. And Scripture tells us that Jesus is coming back for his bride, the church. That means Jesus is coming back for you and coming back for me. We can praise God that Jesus is coming back for his church before the great war against Israel takes place. Not the little wars. There are wars taking place even now. But these are a build-up to the war that's going to take place. Israel is in the midst of war now. There are nations which are out to get Israel, so to speak. But in the midst of these wars and the rumors of wars, the major war has not yet begun. There are those who feel that the present wars around Israel are simply a prelude to what's going to happen in the not too many months in the future. I found it very interesting that since October the 7th, which was the day in which Israel was attacked, thousands of people have returned to Israel. They've gone to Israel. Can you imagine? In the midst of the conflict, they've decided that Israel is their homeland, and that's where they want to be. Jesus is coming back for his church. He's coming back for all who belong to the church from the day of Pentecost until he comes. Scripture makes it clear that Jesus is returning for his church. How do we know the circumstances around his return? Well, we're going to turn to Paul's letter in a moment, not immediately, but in a moment. Then the letter he wrote, the first letter to the people in Thessalonica. It's a powerful passage that gives us divine insight into what is ahead for the church of Jesus Christ. But first, what is the church? Is it an organization? No, it is not. Although we are organized into smaller groups called congregations, but we're not an organization. Is the church a business? No, it's not a business. Although governments impose upon churches certain rules of conduct that sound like a business, but the church is not a business. In fact, I believe that our government officials, particularly with the CRA, don't really understand what a church is all about. They look at it quite differently. They look at it as an entity on its own, when in fact, the church is neither a business nor an organization. What is the church? The church is the people of God. Remember this, it is not a fraternity. It is not a service club. The church is the people of God, all who place their trust in him, past, present, and future. It's the body of Christ with Jesus as its head. In AD 33, from that moment on, until he returns, we are part of the church. So it's the church past, the church present, and the church yet to come. Every single person who has placed his or her trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord is part of the church. We are the church. That's why Some pastors, occasionally Pastor Nate or myself, will say, "Good morning, church. We are the church of Jesus Christ." But remember this, Jesus is the head. No one person is the head other than Jesus. So Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians, is explaining what is going to take place in the future. Let us take a look at these familiar words. I say familiar because we've referred to them in days gone by. We're now looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 13. "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep." Now, that fall asleep is the word that is used meaning for Christians who have died. It's just like they've fallen asleep. Their soul, spirit, mind, and personality go on to be with the Lord at their moment of conversion, at the moment of death. The physical death happens. They go on to be with the Lord. So it's as though they've fallen asleep. Let me start again. "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him, all believers. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words." Isn't that amazing? This is the future that the Church of Jesus Christ, this is the future that you and I have because we place our trust in Jesus as Savior. As I look back in my imagination, trying to picture that day that Jesus was with the disciples and how they came out of the temple, and then from a distance they saw the temple, and then they ended up on the Mount of Olives, and Jesus used that opportunity to teach the disciples these very important messages. I often thought, wouldn't it have been wonderful to have been there that day, to be in the presence of Jesus, to listen to him, to watch his ever-piercing eyes look into the very heart and soul of me and you if we were there that day, thinking about this news that Jesus was giving to them, the news that the temple was going to be destroyed and the news that he was going to return. Look up. He's coming. Jesus is going to return. If you and I were disciples of Jesus at that time, we would have been absolutely amazed that this magnificent structure, the temple, was going to be demolished. The disciples had no idea what was really ahead. Sadly, there are millions of people today who don't know what's ahead. They don't know what to make of all these wars and rumors of wars and nation against nation. They don't know what to make of it. But we know. We know because we have the Word of God, and God gives you and me insight into what's ahead. You've noticed the words that Paul said. "Therefore, encourage each other with these words." Encourage each other with these words. I was thinking about this the other day and thinking that when Jesus came the first time, the rabbis and the scribes and the teachers of the law all knew that the Messiah was going to come. They knew he was going to come, but they weren't looking for him to come. The wise men were looking for him. The religious people in Israel were not looking for him. You and I also know that Jesus is going to return. And you and I, we need to be looking for him. He is coming. We need to be listening. We need to have our ear attuned to the trumpet call. "When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, where will you be? Will you hear the trumpet?" I believe non-believers will not hear the trumpet. I believe that all believers will hear the trumpet. And when Jesus returns, we'll be with him. On this last Sunday in 2024, may you and I be encouraged because God's word makes this abundantly clear. He is sovereign. He is in ultimate control. Nothing takes him by surprise. And that means nothing in the world takes him by surprise, and nothing that happens to you in your life takes him by surprise. He is coming back for his church, for you and for me. And when he does, every true believer of every age will be with him for all eternity. Now that's a praise God item. Therefore, we offer praise unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When you think about it, what a wonderful truth that is for you and me to end 2024. Jesus is returning, and he's returning for you and returning for me. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the promise that we find in Scripture, and we thank you that in the midst of everything falling apart, Lord, you are going to return. You are going to establish your kingdom. And in ways that we perhaps don't fully understand, we will be part of your kingdom's rule. Fill us with your Spirit, O God, that we may live for you day by day, hour by hour, and encourage each of us to share the love of God, the salvation through Jesus Christ, with others. Help us to pray for those that we know that do not accept you, that they will put their trust in you. All of this we ask in our Savior's name. Amen.